Welcome to Fuck Your Feelings, the greatest podcast to ever exist. We got a fire show today. Feel good about this show. I really do. We got Jamie Riley.
What's good?
Just met her 3 weeks ago.
Shout out to the casting process for this podcast.
You're like, free Monday?
Yeah, exactly. I just look out of the bushes like, oh, you, come. shout out to Jamie. She was very complimentary and nice to me. I liked her energy. So that's why if you give me a compliment, you have a chance of being on this show.
go far.
We got Keisha E.
What's up?
What's the E stand for?
Can't tell you all that.
Okay. We had somebody yesterday didn't want to tell us their real name. Seoul Korean. You know Seoul Korean? Anyways, he a Korean dude. I was like, what's your real name? He was like, I would not tell you that.
I
was
hey,
like,
man. Oh. I just want to say, don't be just having anybody on this podcast.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to lower the brand. I'm not saying that person's not a good person, but don't just be having... You heard a minute, Mike.
Hey, you know what? You're not wrong. And we got James Davis, the phenomenal James Davis. Davis, you know what's so funny, bro? I ain't even go front. Somebody DM'd me about him, and they had already did the podcast, and they was like vouching for their homeboy. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
I just don't want you at open mics. Like, I like that one joke. You want to come to the podcast?
Hey, man, speaking of liking one joke, Monique special. No.
Can I just say there's no better conversation, I think, than comedians talking about other comedians' specials.
Do you think so?
Well, I love being in a spirit of petty.
Yeah. So. No, but for real, though, I wanted to talk about it. And I'm only bringing it up because I was just at Naeem's screening, which Keisha was at. Killed it. That was a great.
Side note, people invite me to shit. I didn't know about it. I always want to be there, but nobody tells me about nothing. I'm sorry. Back to your story.
Yeah, you know what?
Well, Keisha was in it.
That's how she got an invite. I got an invite. This is the power of hitting the like button on people's shit. I hit the like button on Naeem's post. Right after I hit the like button, he sent me the invite.
The algorithm thinks that me and Naeem are beefing.
Oh.
Sometimes the algorithm can just create a beef.
That's true, though.
Like Naeem ain't been on my feed. I follow him, but the algorithm be like, you don't need no Naeem news.
That's some true shit, though, bro. Sometimes I have to go to, like, people that I fuck with. I have to go to their page and hit some some of their content just so their shit will start back popping up on my feed. So, anyways, that's how I got the invite, you know.
But you can also, like, watch people's stories. Like, if you watch people's stories, then they'll start, like, you actually care about this person. And they'll, like, hit the feed.
Mm. Like, I try to stay off. Lately, I've been trying to be off Instagram as much as possible.
You doing the right thing.
Like, I do 2-3 scrolls if you don't show up. If you're not the first 3-4 stories.
It's work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work to maintain relationships on fucking Instagram.
It is.
I'm like, Jesus, man.
But we're going to get back to this goddamn Monique special.
I haven't seen it.
Me neither.
Y'all ain't seen it?
No.
Respectfully, it wasn't like the Chris Rock special. Like, it wasn't like I had to like,
wait a minute. No.
It wasn't an event where it was like everybody, was it?
No.
Did they have a pre-show?
It wasn't a free show, but I think people were like looking forward to it, or people wanted to see what
people
it was.
No, yeah.
I just haven't.
I was in a subway with service watching the beginning of Chris Rock because I was like, this is the Crick Rock. It's live. I gotta.
Yeah. And you didn't watch it either?
So last night I was going to.
Okay.
And I watched the preview of it, like the little one joke that they give you to like, to be like, oh, watch the rest of it.
Was the preview motherfucker?
Just the word.
She did say it.
Oh, okay.
But it was about
coming motherfucking soon
on your motherfucking feed.
Dropping motherfucking tonight.
Motherfucking Monique. On motherfucking Netflix. So what happened? So you was about to watch it.
I was about to watch it, but the joke that they played I don't think it was the whole joke. And if it was the whole joke, then it didn't make me want to watch the whole thing because it wasn't. It just didn't. I don't think it was finished. And then I was just like, this is.
The joke or the clip?
She was talking about the joke.
I have a feeling it was, maybe it was the clip to make you want to watch the rest, to watch the, hear the rest of the joke. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that engaging for me, enough for me to be like, you know, let me watch this hour long special.
Yeah.
To know what happened in the classroom.
Okay. I have a few different feelings about this. Number one, y'all ain't shit. That's number one. Y'all ain't watching.
Just like it. I really wanted to talk about
this. I really wanted to talk about it. I said, I could have talked about it on the last episode I just recorded. And I said, no, I'm going to wait for it to be all Negroes.
You're supposed to put that in the podcast info.
I should have told y'all to watch it.
To watch it. We should have.
I assume.
We can just.
I assumed y'all cared about comedy enough.
What if we just watch it now for the podcast?
We're not going to do that.
So, just roll the clip.
Yeah, just watch our faces.
A whole hour long reaction video.
So I know, right? So I think a lot of people's issue with it was that she cussed like every other word, like mm-hmm. literally. Like this, not even like me just being like facetious. Mm-hmm. Like literally, every other word was motherfucker, nigga, and or bitch. Like that's every other word, mm-hmm. and I felt like they feel like some of the stories weren't complete. So that was kind of the issue. Also, she came out of the closet, which is brave of her.
Oh,
you know, at respect. The end,
I didn't know that
she came out. At least it's bisexual. You know,
she's married, right?
She is.
She said, oh,
that's like, kind of what the joke is about
bisexual
too.
Bisexual don't hit the same. It's just like
I know. I thought she was Queen Latifah. I was like, oh shit.
No, she's not Wanda Sykes. You know, but she is out there. She likes vagina. That's what she's saying. She likes vagina. Damn, I wish y'all, did y'all watch some more special?
Well, listen, what struck me is that we're all comedians, right?
And speak people, a little bit closer to the mic.
We're all comedians, and the people who've been complaining about the cussing,
right?
Cuss. That's how I know how much cussing it is. Like, we're not church folk.
That's exactly correct.
Like, we're not part of like some Bible study, and we're like, oh my goodness, the Monique special was just so, like, these are people who hear cussing every night, and they're like, nigga. It's a lot of cussing. So that's what lets me know that's a lot of cussing. And like, but, and that means like cussing to me is a lack of preparation, because I feel like the more you do your jokes, the more you find the cussing unnecessary. And I think there's just a trend where like, I feel like big name comedians who come and drop a special out of like after a long time, their special doesn't reflect, I guess, just like the level that you would expect from like all the time you would think they would have for that special.
Mm.
Whether it's Chris Rock, whether it's Monique. And I didn't see Monique's special, but I just think sometimes there's specials where you'd be so excited and then it's like, oh, it kind of seems like he whipped this together. Like, but you had time, like you had money, resources. Like,
years. To get your act together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, hey man.
That's what happens when you get the bag first though. It's like.
Well, because my thing was, she was asking for the $20 million initially that Chris Rock and Chappelle was getting, but the special showed us that you should have.
Maybe that was intentional.
What you mean?
Because she was like, I had to fight all this time. Now you niggas is going to get this.
Yeah, got what, 25 grand? She should have got. She could have got.
That's not even professional, though.
I don't know. I haven't seen this, so I can't.
Did y'all watch Marla Wayne's special?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Not the recent.
But you know, just to kind of
like. You said it like.
What'd you say? I saw it.
I like Marlon Special. What you thought? Mm-mm. Okay.
I don't want this edited out.
Okay.
I'm in the episode.
But see, you can't. Then you can't have a conversation if we can't, like.
No, okay, y'all like, no. Here's, no, right? No. Okay, no. Like, I like. I'm just going to be 100. Like, I feel like I'm like. And you probably feel the same way. Like, a. extended member of the Wayans family.
Right.
Like, I have a lot of love for not only Marlon, whatever. So I see the Wayans like from a biased place.
Right.
And so I think that Marlon's special was proof of how far he's grown in his journey as a comedian. And it was by far his best special.
It was.
And I think if you're looking at Marlon, it's almost the same way you look at Chris Rock's special. I think those specials are connected to where those artists are in their career. Like, Marlon is a icon and a juggernaut, but in stand-up comedy, he's still, like, newer in his journey than you would expect. And so that special to me was impressive, vulnerable, intimate, and he did a lot of things that you wanted to see in his earlier specials.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I wish it would have been structured not in and out of one Will Smith slap. Like, he used that to, like, tell a lot of dope jokes and, like, you know, just take stand-up to where it can go. I just, me, my taste-wise, I wish it could have been done in a way that just didn't keep coming back to the Will Smith, Chris Rock slap. And, like I just want to listen to you, Marlon. Like, I care. Every time he went back to talking about that, like, I cared less about that and more, like, his feelings on that and what that revealed about him as a person. So, like, keeping it 1,000, I thought it was a great special. I wish it could have been structured where it didn't rely so much on the Will Smith, Chris Rock slap.
Gotcha. You wish he was touching on different topics. Or just not just that.
But it's a catch-22 because then it's, like, super timely. And then it's, like, and as an artist, it's kind of like, damn, like, you used one moment in order to spend an hour kind of talking about yourself and your feeling on the industry and your feeling on all this stuff. And it was about Marlon. So, like, part of it, like, creatively, I'm like, you know, that's dope. I've never seen it. But then just, like, personally, I was like, I don't hear it. But I also watched it after Chris Rock's special, too.
Oh, okay. I did, too.
What I think thought? that would have had a different effect.
What you thought, Jamie?
What, Marlon?
Yeah, what you thought? Keisha don't watch nobody's shit.
I do. I watch Chris Rock. I think what James said, he like hit a nail on the head, you know? But I do think because he is a Wayans, I felt like he didn't have to do that. But the fact that he did do that, I loved it because I have, you know, getting into stand-up, I've gotten a lot of advice, right? And they honestly, like the best advice that I've gotten was, if you're not ready to be honest, you're not ready to be funny. And he was honest. I mean, yeah. He was fully honest to the point where you respected him more of like, yo, this is how I feel about Chris. This is how I feel about Jada. This is how I feel about Will. Right. And I'm using this time to say how I feel. Right. And on the same way, he wasn't disrespectful.
Right.
And I thought he did it the right way. You know, I thought it was a great special. I didn't necessarily think like, I didn't go into it thinking it was all going to be about the slap.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, I was enjoying it. And no one else is talking about the slap.
Right.
You know, to that extent, too. You're just like, I'm in my own house like, yo. yo, you know what I'm saying? And it's just the fact that like I respected that. And it's just like the thing about stand up, it's about you being honest, right? And so it that's his 2023 special. You know, that's it. Next year it might be his history. His
and he is he has whatever. More specials planned. So like when you have yeah. a deal, like, you know, if we drop a special, we don't know. Like right. that got to be the one. You know, so like but him knowing he has other specials coming gives him the opportunity to be like, I'm just gonna sit in this.
Yeah.
Do y'all feel like specials were funnier back in the day?
I do.
Yeah. Speak on it, Keisha.
No, I just like the past, I don't know how many that I've watched, it's kind of been like a chuckle or some. I feel like now there's a lot of clap worthy points in specials, but I wanna laugh. Like, I also want you to make me think, but I want it to be funny. And I feel like a lot of specials I've watched lately has been like, clapping, like, oh, okay, they said something, you know, whether it's injustice or whether it's racism or sexism or whatever it is they're talking about. But I feel like back in the day, I remember I almost got kicked out of my dorm watching The Kings of Comedy.
Yeah.
And I had seen it like 10 times, and every time I watched it, the PA was like, listen, or not PA, the RA, I'm thinking about on set. She was like, it's quiet hours, it's finals, people are complaining about the noise in here, me and my roommates in here dying laughing, like, and I feel like that feeling I don't always get when I watch specials these days. It's like,
do you think a part of that is?
Side note: I was an RA as well.
Were you?
Hating, knocking on the door, you know, like you're keeping up too much noise.
5-0.
You was the police?
I was RA.
Snitching. Dang. I mean, they got a snitch.
Hey, they got the golf cart though.
My RA is like me. I was doing all type of disrespectful shit. Do you think it's because we're comedians though, and now we kind of judging shit harder?
No.
No, it's just not as funny, right?
I think it's, yeah.
I think if I could just ask a question, right?
Go for it.
Do you only watch black comics?
No.
Okay, I feel like there's a lot of white comedy that have me fucking crying.
Yeah. Who?
What you mean who?
Who?
I like
crying is strong.
Yeah, I'm about to say, who have you crying? Okay. Bill Burr is the only one that has me crying. And I wouldn't say crying for like literally. I don't know.
Anthony Jeselnik is my favorite.
Okay, I fuck with Anthony Jeselnik.
I love Anthony Jeselnik. He's the one I'd be having crying. I like Burt's new ones. I like dark humor. I like storytelling.
Mm-hmm. That's why you like Burt.
That's why I like Burt. Yeah. Tom Segura, he's nice. I watch a lot of white comedy too. And I watched Ali Wong.
I like Ali Wong.
Yeah, and then the one that she directed with the other guy, the Asian guy. His was really good. His was well written.
Who? Is it Ronnie Chang or someone else?
I don't think he did anything with Ali.
Oh, okay.
No, Ali directed his.
Ronnie Chang's?
Nah, I think somebody else. She's talking about.
I had a show with her at improv. She's like, I love that abortion bit. I was like, what?
You'll see it on my next special. Right. I don't know, man. I'll be thinking about that when it comes to these specials, man. Sometimes I'll be like, do people put out specials because they think they're ready, or do people put out specials just because they want the bag?
So there's a lot of one back in the day. There wasn't so much comedy around. Mm-hmm. Like, we're flooded with comedy. So I was talking to my friend about this. Like, was it the movie Waterboy where the dude was like, "You can do it," and like that blew up. Him saying, "You can do it." Like, if somebody did that now, we'd be like, there was nothing around. Like, it was like you go to the movie or TV, but like now, literally, we can scroll our phone and like something might crack us up. Like, I feel like we're desensitized in a way to comedy where things were hitting harder back in the day because there wasn't competition. We hadn't laughed all day before we watched that. We hadn't been scrolling our phone all day before we watched something or a special. Like, you did your thing. You weren't watching shows on your phone. Like, you went and watched reruns, but it just wasn't, comedy wasn't coming to your face. And especially as comedians, your feed is reels and clips. And if you follow a lot of comedians, and even if you don't, like, there's always comedy available. So now, in order to get that same like knee slapping, crying, like it has to be elite. And even if it is elite, it still may not make you laugh just because you've been laughing all day. You've been laughing since 7 a.m, like, or just having comedy come at you since you opened your phone.
Yeah. I think for me it's the opposite, because I think because of so much content and because everybody's posting, I think a lot of it isn't funny to me. I think people laugh now at anything. Like, you do something silly, you would think about going viral. It's like people are trying to go viral by doing the silliest things. And a lot of that to me is, I think I love smart comedy and witty comedy. Mm-hmm. And I think now everything is like silly and like it doesn't make me laugh. So I think that has kind of become a trend now where a lot of comedians or people in general or people off the internet that are becoming comedians, no shade to anybody, now it's like anything they think is funny, and it's really, no, it's not.
I'm throwing
shit. But to me, it's like, you can do this on Instagram and it's funny, and then you get on stage and it's like, but it's not funny to me. So I feel like it almost is now a thing of like, I think the bar has unconsciously been lowered on what's funny. And so when I watch comedy now, I'm like, this is not really.
So I'd like to say something, right?
Go for
because
it.
I am one of those people who came from social media to who's now doing stand up, right? Mm-hmm.
I wasn't shading you.
Oh, I'm not taking it like that. I do just want to say that, like, you know, you guys are like deep in the game. You know what I mean? Like, from people who came from like social media to now doing stand up, it's like, yeah, if people were judging you the first year you did it, it'd probably be the same amount.
No, I'm not saying that. I mean? By all like, means, you can come from any walk of life. I'm a computer engineer. I'm just saying that it needs to be fun. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying for the first time you hit stage. Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I think because we are so like immersed in the Instagram comedy and the skits, I think that oftentimes on stage, to me, that stuff isn't funny. And I think that that's why I'm saying when I watch stuff now, I don't think I'm judging it much harder. I just think it's different now. Mm. And to me, it's not funny. To other people, there are plenty of people. People have millions of followers and people are dying laughing at their skits. And I might watch it and it's no shade. I'm not hating. I'm not like, oh my God. But that's just not what I find entertaining.
I think what both of you guys are saying like kind of connects in a way. It's like there are, to Jamie's point, there's a lot of newer comedians who like they're in their newer process of comedy. But that's this like generation of comedians who still post it. Like respect if you're just new, you're in your year, but like if you post it, he posted it. Like, no one cares amount of time, whatever. Like,
that's true.
Like, right. If you showcase your comedy, that's true, yeah. It is now being showcased along with all the other comedy.
Yeah, you're in the game now.
We post a clip, that you might scroll and then see a Chappelle clip, a D-Ray clip, but you in the game. So it's like, wherever you at in the game, I respect it. But once you post and put it out, like, because me and Justin, we wasn't always nice, but we wasn't putting out the not nice material.
Right.
You know, like.
But that's true.
But that also goes back to the specials. It's like, when we go to specials or our professionals, that's where we go to see the nicest, most professional, most tight set, where it's like, show me why you're different than what I've seen on the phone, to your point. So it's like, when you go to a special, you go to see somebody who's like just on a different level. And I feel like some of these specials, you like, hey, you kind of reminded me of what I see on my phone.
Yeah, because I do be watching people's specials. Like, I shouldn't feel like I could do that better than you.
You shouldn't watch a comedian and want to do comedy. You shouldn't listen to a rapper and feel like you should rap.
That's a fact. That's why I got 3 mixtapes out. I said, these niggas are trash. Yo, I said, they could do it. I could definitely drop some bars if they could do it.
Exactly.
I've definitely thought that about, like, makeup artists. I could do that. I never.
Side note, and when I heard your music, I didn't go rap. I was like, I don't know if I could do that.
I appreciate that, bro. Yeah, I'm surprisingly gifted when it comes to rapping. I'm going to drop something again one of these days. But
I do appreciate you mention it like that, because like when you do post it, it's like, hey, I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know? And that's one thing that I haven't done. And people are like, I want to see your comedy. I want to see your comedy. I want, you know, when are you going to post it? Like, this, and this. And it's just like, I'm not ready. You know? And that's because I'm taking a different approach into stand-up. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm just going to host a show, have people come, make clips, and post it online. You know, like, it's more so like, I'm thinking of longevity.
Yeah.
You know, and I see the difference of, like, you know, when people are just throwing their
clips like
out.
A big Costco, and we all have our little sample aisle, like, sections for our comedy, and people are just going around like sampling your comedy, and they'd be like, I like this. But if you put out some bullshit, they'd be like, unfollow.
Right.
IG, don't show me this again.
That's hilarious, bro. Hey, man, you killing it right now with the clips, though, bro.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I hate doing clips. I hate.
You just hit 100K. All... Yeah,
I did. So it's working.
I did. Nah.
What was the deciding factor for you to be like, I got to start posting clips? Because you're great. I appreciate the flowers you just gave me. You've always been great at crowd work. Like, that's a special skill that you've always had, bruh. You come up with clever shit on the spot. I used to see you killing at the Union and all these other different spots, bruh. So it makes perfect sense for me for you to do crowd work and post this shit. But what was the deciding factor for you to be like, let me start posting these goddamn clips?
People I knew who were absolutely not funnier than me selling out shows and having a gang of followers.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally like, get bitter, get mad, or do something. And I had sat in the other option for like a month or two. And I was just like, well, this is. And also, it was around the time I remember I literally started mid-September. I mean, so like this is. I think I was extra motivated, too. I mean, niggas was dying, like Teddy, Jack, David. You know, it's just like. If they like, I'm over here bitter about stuff like they not even alive no more. Like, how can I not go hard when like people don't even have they don't even have no chance? Like, especially David.
Yeah,
I remember David didn't want to do none of that internet stuff. He's a comedian. He's a writer, but he put all his pride to his side and he was doing his vlogs and all that stuff. And it was like, if David at an older age with a family can make that decision, like, what am I? What's my real reason outside of pride and ego? And to your point, I was like, man, I'm good at freestyling. Like, I can, it's literally just like the gym. Like, you go into the gym, just pay a cameraman.
Yeah.
And what's funny is what I notice is when I know that there are cameras there, you take your sets more seriously.
Mm.
And it's almost like a mini taping. It's almost a little bit more fun because you're like, man, it might be 10, 11 people here, but this is for the gram.
Oh.
So like while I might have just like phoned it in or made it a little workout set and I don't care. Hey, if there's 4 people or 400 people, if my cameras are up, I'm performing.
Like, gotcha.
I'm performing because I know it's not about them. I need this to look good on the clip so that I can get it out to the to the people. And then that started helping my writing. Because some of my clips, it was just like, man, I wanted to say something about this. I wouldn't even have the full joke. Like, I got clips that got like 500,000 views where literally, as the cameraman was setting up, I was like, I just want to say something about Kanye and Black Lives Matter and what he's been talking about. I'm just typing it up on my phone. I just go out there and I'm just like, but I have this like passion about what I'm talking about. Cause I'm like, even though this is new, like the cameras is up. Like, I don't pay this man $200. Like,
yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, who's editing your clips? Are you editing or the dude or your cameraman also editing?
Nah. So shout out to Michael Turner, who does the Don't Tell shows.
Okay.
He linked me with a clip guy who then started working with Trevor Wallace. And now that clip guy who I was doing my stuff is now working with Matt Rife. So
shit.
He's unavailable.
He got a full-time job. Yeah. Matt killing it right now.
Right. So he, but before I went to New York, Matt's clip guy was working with Trevor Wallace and me and Brendan Schaub. So I went low-key, not like, to the white homies, low-key, like, just share the information.
Yeah, because
whatever.
Niggers aren't doing shit. No, I'm joking.
Nah. But I will say that, like.
Do you guys not know how to edit?
I do. I edit my.
Don't say it like that.
First of all.
Jamie. I mean, I'm just.
I edit my stand-up clips. My homeboy Lee, who's my producer on this, he edits the podcast clips.
Okay.
Yeah, and then my sketches and stuff like that I used to edit.
I need to take an editing class. I know my life would change if I would edit more stuff, but in the meanwhile, I just paying people.
I can do basic.
Afion like, told me that a long time. You're just out here editing.
Oh, you're an editor?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't enjoy it. You know, like, so that's the thing. Like, I know how to do it because I know what I want and I know how to get it. And I want to know how to make sure I get it done the way I want it, you know?
Yeah.
So I learned how to do it, obviously, from coming to social media. That's how I learned how to edit videos. When it comes to, like, these type of clips, you know, the whole, like, vertical thing, I really enjoy, because I edited the, like, a podcast I was on before, and I did, like, a three-tier. And I thought that was really fun. Like, and it's just, I don't know, like, I enjoy it, but I just don't, it just takes me forever.
It's not fun, but it's a talent, and when you need to use it.
Like, you have to do everything out here.
I edited Baraka Flocka Flame, like, my biggest thing. Like, and it was like, but, like, I didn't enjoy it, but, like, it just had to be done.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I do the editing. But, yeah, the clips, man, like, it's funny, too, because the algorithm is different with everybody. Like, my crowd work clips don't, some of them go big, but some of them be, like, real just mid, like, not a lot of views. I honestly feel like my people want more material.
You know what? Somebody, Mike Eshak, he did this podcast, too. He told me the same thing. He said his material is, that's what really hits. It ain't his crowd work shit. And see, that's my problem. I haven't been posting any of my material. All of my stuff is being crowd work stuff. And so none of that stuff has really been hitting. But my reaction videos, I've had a few of them hit.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
But it's just about, I just feeding it. Like, sometimes just anything. I need to react. I want to do it all. Like,
yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah, go for it. This is an open conversation.
Okay. So when it comes to posting.
And we're out of time. So listen, everybody. No, I'm joking.
You must be a comedian.
Good talk.
Go for it, my bad.
When it comes to posting your material, how do you guys feel about that?
So for me, that was also part of my clip whole
deep side
enlightenment.
Over here.
We be holding on to material for a special, right?
That's a fact.
When I got my special, I shot it and then it didn't come out for a year. Sometimes when you get a special, maybe it's 6 months. Now there's some, like Roy Wood, when he shot his special, it came out in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So like, if you can get a deal like that, it's worth it. But like, you might be holding on to material for a special. Say everything works out and you get a special 3 months from now. All right. Sign the deal. You get a special. Now they got a venue for you that you're going to now shoot in another 2 months. So now we're now five months out from here. You shoot in 5 months. Now they decide that your special will come out, God willing, in another 3 months. And now it's 8 months from now. Like, at the best case scenario. So jokes that are hitting right now, that are referencing things right now, that just mean more right now, if you were even to get a special, no one's going to see it for another 8-9 months. And it's like, and when you do drop that special, unless you're already trending and you're very popular, the demand to watch that special is not going to be that large. So people are going to watch that special, and what maybe the maybe a big producer sees it and wants to give you a development deal or bring you in for a meeting. Maybe you get 1,000 to 10,000 new followers, maybe. And like, I've dropped shit on me and Justin will tell you, being on TV doesn't mean
shit.
Followers rush in.
Nah.
So, and that's another thing. So with all those factors, you get more bang for your buck from your stand-up online. Mm-hmm. I've gotten about 50,000 followers since September. I got crazy TV credits, and I was stuck at 54,000 to dipping whatever. So it's like, none of that, if it's about increasing your visibility, increasing your brand, your following, the special late night route really doesn't advance you like it did in the 90s or 2000s. But
and even with the late night, still go have to drop the shit on YouTube. It's still basically a clip.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Even your special is going to come out, and then you're going to clip that shit and put it back online. So cut out all the middleman and just put it online, bring up your following there. And then it's like, now you got people like a Mark Norman or a Sam Morrill or people where like they can drop it on YouTube because they're so big online, or Matt Rife, where like they're, all the people are going to go wherever they go. But if like HBO Max was to give me a special tomorrow, like even if it drops, only people who care about that special are the people who already cared about me. Yeah. And maybe a few people who were, you know, pulled in by their marketing, which they're not doing some heavy marketing like campaign for somebody who's not Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, big name. So you just realize all the outside of the clout and the ego and like, and just the swag of maybe having a billboard or saying you have a special, it's really not moving you or getting you tickets or, you know, it's not going to, unless somebody sees that special who's like a Will Packer and is like, I love this guy. Like, which happened with Sam J. Kenya Barris saw her Netflix special and was like, I fuck with her. I'm gonna start putting her in shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I've had Kenya Barris reached out to me through clips.
Damn.
Not through, you know, like I've gotten more meetings through my clips because the people are on their phone when they're on their TVs.
That's a fact.
Like people thought that I just wanted to write and I didn't even want to like, you know, be on camera and do stuff. And then they saw these clips and they're just like, oh, he's funny. Oh, this dude could. And it's almost like a reminder of who you are.
Yeah.
But if you just sitting holding on to your stuff. Yeah.
And you working.
I need to get better at posting the clips, bro. I'm even like finna start taking more like stand-up gigs just so I could have like more clips. You know,
it made me take more stand-up gigs because now you got your gigs where you want to tape them and your gigs where you want to work on your shit.
Exactly. And let me be clear when I say take more stand-up gigs, because I always want to do stand-up gigs. Take more stand-up gigs for lesser money. Okay. Because I had a certain price point, and if the clubs wasn't meeting that price point, I was like, I'm not doing their club. Mm. Now I'm like, well, fuck. The clips is what's matter to really build my fan base and my brand. So now this is recent shit. I'm like, let me start doing these clubs for a lesser price.
If it's a good club that looks good on camera.
Yeah, okay. There you have it. That's true. I don't want to do Chuckle Buttfuck in Idaho.
Or because if you're not going to get nothing out of it and it's just going to be a whatever, but if it looks good or, you know, like, or you can build your material, yeah, but I still am not a fan of going to shitty clubs.
But see, I'm at a point where I'm like, as long as there's a crowd, I'm going to just be funny and take them clips and post the shit online. Yeah. So that got me to thinking about you, Keisha. Miss Keisha, Miss I'm Not on Instagram.
I'm on the gram. I'm just...
Miss I'm Not Post. What's the goal, though? Is it stand-up or is it actress?
It's both, but I would say it's both. It's both. And I want... My goal is for my stand-up to open the door for acting. But I understand the advantage of Instagram, like everything what you're saying, because I was listening like, oh, I usually don't post a lot of my clips because also where I'm at in my comedy career is like, I have about an hour of material, not an hour special, about an hour of material, right? So I'm like,
damn, do I post everything on Instagram and then you come to my show and then what? You know what I mean? So that's where I was always kind of like,
I'd be paranoid about that.
I'd be thinking about that.
Because
Lonnie
hit me like, yo, can I post this from, you know, and I was like, how, and then how much are you posting, right? Because like, I don't want to get
the full clip. Yeah. the full joke.
But that does make sense because I did post a clip from an old, and it looked good from Revolt. I did a funny AF. And that was probably like my first viral clip, right? And so I was like, oh, I need to post more of these. I struggle with Instagram because it's like, I really want to just do the craft. I want to be on stage. I want to act. I don't want to do the skits. I don't want to have to do that. You have some of the best actors that don't even have an Instagram page, or they post two posts. You know what I mean? And obviously, I'm not at that point, but that's what my goal. That's where I want to be. Like, I don't want to have to do the clips, but I understand the benefit of it.
Like, Michael B. Jordan doesn't have to drop reels.
Exactly.
You know? He doesn't.
Exactly.
Michael so. Damon Jordan Jr. doesn't have to drop reels.
You said Damon Jr.?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
He'd be in my DMs like, yeah, man, I think, I'm like, bro, you're fine.
So, yeah, it's like, I get it. I understand the benefit of it. I understand growing your platform, you know, and all of those things. But that's tough because I really love stand-up. So it's not that I want to do one over the other. I do think when I think longevity as a woman – and I think about like being on the road versus having a show that I shoot at Warner Brothers and I come home to my family by maybe 8, 9 o'clock at night, depending on how long we shoot. You know what I mean? That is something that I think about.
Yeah.
But I can't really pick one or the other.
What you thinking, Jamie? What's on your mind?
I just want you guys to understand how it all coincides together. Like, how successful do you want to be in stand up without social media?
How successful do I want to be without it?
Yeah.
I want to be very successful without it.
Like, me too.
I want to never have to post a skit.
But the thing is, how would that path look? You would headline for who? You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like you'd have to figure out a different plan without trying to do social media.
Yeah. Without like, I want to be more on stage.
Like, without trying to do acting, you know, like it all coincides together. You right. get a TV show, then now you have credits to now you're getting put on at like the Comedy Cellar. You know what I'm saying? It all coincides. Like social media, acting, stand up, like you in order to be like the full on, like let's say you want to be an A-list star. It's really like the way nowadays are, it's like you have to be all of the above. And now, and if you don't like to do social media, this is when you hire someone to do it for you.
Mm-hmm. I definitely am trying to get to a place to just hire somebody.
Yeah.
Just, like, do my shit. But I mean, I feel you. Like IG is like a necessary evil.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be going on there just to post something and be on there for 2 hours. Like and there's nothing. And I honestly, I wish I could like not use, I would be a happier, healthier, mentally stable.
I take breaks.
Well, people wonder why I unfollowed everybody at one point. Like, that's also for my own mental health also. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's because it's like, I'm not trying to see everybody's shit. I'm trying to focus on my own stuff. Yeah. You know.
We are so consumed. Think about it. 24 hours a day.
I heard. Now I know. I didn't even know that was a thing.
But you're still looking at somebody's, right? Like, think about you got your email, you got your phone calls, your text messages. We barely spend the time with people in person. You scrolling all day, taking in somebody else's life, somebody else's thoughts, somebody else's, whether it's jokes or there's good stuff, bad stuff.
Oh, and their life looks better than yours.
And that's where I be like, I really just want to not be on. But then it's like you get opportunities. People will DM you like, hey, can you come to the show? So if you get off social media. So it, like you said, it's a necessary evil, but.
I will say for spots, IG is damn near unmatched.
That's how they're gonna reach out.
In New York, like, I would just. You do a show, I ain't never heard of that show, but the show reposts you, I just go to that show.
Yeah, and what then I'll DM the person like, hey, I might send a quick little clip. I get book a lot of shows like that too. So that's what I'm saying. It's a necessary evil. I just hate it. Like, can I get off of here?
It is. The whole energy thing is very true though. It's like you said, the email, the DMs, all the stuff. It's like, man, at the end of the day, it's like, damn, I don't even want to be out. I have no energy left, and all I've been doing is texting back, you know? Right. Like, it's just, like, I'm so drained. And then it's, like, you try to add editing on top of something like that. It's just, like, you're fucking brain dead after that. It's just, like, man, there has to be an easier way. I haven't figured it out,
That's what I learned. There isn't.
Well, you know, this is my last thought to talk on that particular point, which is my fear is I'm gonna post my material online. Mm-hmm. The benefit of that is I'm building my fan base, and I got people coming to my show, like you were saying, Keisha. But my fear is HBO calls and they're like, "All right, we want your special," and I'm like, "I gave away all my good shit on these clips, so now whatever material I have is like it's like mediocre. It's like B, C list jokes." And now I'm like, well, if I would have had all my best shit from the clip. And then there's a part of me also that I might say, fuck it, I'm going to just still take all my best jokes and still do it on the special.
That's what I was going to ask. What's your rule of thumb for that? Do you still use the jokes that you post? Or so are you like, that's
to me, it? To me, you can't reuse special jokes, you know, but there's jokes in Kevin Hart's Seriously Funny that he did in his Comedy Central half hour.
Right.
But it's like, it's a different platform. You know, I think it's special to special, but not like internet is internet. Like, that's not TV, you know, like.
But do
you feel like when people see it on the internet and then they gonna watch it on TV? Like,
it'd be, to me, my hope is that it's like your favorite rapper doing one of your favorite songs. Yeah. And hopefully, ideally, your material has somewhat grown from whatever they saw you on YouTube, IG, to your special. Maybe there's an extra tag, some kind of like growth in the joke. But like, damn, I forgot. I definitely just blanked.
We were saying about using the material. People still want to see
it. So me and Roy Wood were talking about this.
He just dropped a new special, Roy Wood?
Nah.
Oh, okay. So anyways, you and Roy Wood was talking about it.
I have a lot of like, what I try to release online is observational and timely jokes, and like, but there's a lot of personal shit that I have not put online. I've been sitting on, you know, like kidney transplant material, right. Talking about hood adjacent.
She just laughed at
that.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
Dark humor. That's why she like Anthony Jeselnik.
You know, like,
your pain makes her giggle.
Yeah, like, or even like the summer of all our homies dying. Like, I got mad jokes about death and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah. Stand up comedy. This is how it works.
This is what happened when I just let anybody fucking come on. Hey, you.
Death, hilarious. But like, so a lot of my clips, if you notice, they're like COVID or what are the secrets too is, say you got a fire old joke, but you got a crappy clip of it. Do that old joke today.
I need to do that.
Mm-hmm. I got jokes that were old and like, but I did it like this year, and that people were like, they don't know it's old. Yeah. So like, repurpose old stuff. But like, observational stuff, like if I'm gonna talk about Angel Reese and doing this stuff.
Right.
There's no real super personal take that's not gonna be that much, like gonna be like some earth-shattering joke about that. Yeah. So put it out.
Right.
See, I think like a lot of my material is personal.
Yeah, you gotta hold on. You gotta think about that a little bit more.
If I put it out, you know, like the clip that I did put out that went viral, I don't use that joke anymore at all. Like, maybe I could at one point, but it's not something, if I got a show tonight, that's never even coming to my mind to do that joke. So some stuff now is like, but then I have some, it's like a catch-22, because I have some stuff that hit, and I'd be like, damn, I do want to post this.
But then
it's also like, I use that a lot.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to just take one of your babies and just sacrifice them. I didn't want to, I took forever to post the joke about me not knowing if my pullout game was good or I can't have kids. That had been killing for a long time, but I was like, nah, that shit good. I'm going to save it. And then I finally did it on the Don't Tell, and it's 4.3 million.
It's like sometimes you
might be holding on a couple million.
And I thought about that when Lonnie hit me about it. I was like, I should probably let her post it. And then I was like, and I was on the road at the time and I was using it. And then it's also like, but not that, versus the number of people that's going to see it on Inner versus the number of people that's going to come to the show that may have seen the clip to be like, I saw that already. It's probably not that great.
Right.
You know, it's a greater number of people that's going to see it there. So I do. It's just, yeah.
It's really like a win-win. If your clip goes viral, that means a lot of people liked it. So they won't be mad if they heard it again. If it didn't go viral, no one saw it.
You know what? Low-key, I think that's part of my fear, too.
Like,
I think part of my fear is like, I post a joke that I think is fire, it has been killing, and then it don't hit, and I'm gonna be like, well, damn.
Oh no, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, see, that's gonna kill like me. That's gonna hurt my soul.
The funny thing about clips and reels is you have this excitement, like you're dropping an album.
Yeah.
Every time you drop a clip, you're like, ooh, this gonna be the one to set it off. It's gonna set it off.
Yeah.
It'd be at like 2,000 at the end of the day.
That's happened. It's one that I was like, I don't really think this is gonna do well, but I needed to just post something. I was in the habit of posting consistently, and then that one did better than one that I thought. That I was like proud to post. Like, I'm about to post this one. And it was like,
yeah.
That's how it always is.
They wanted to hear more. Like, what's the rest of it? What happened after that? And I'm like, oh. And it was a terrible
flip. You're like, so the internet doesn't like my new material.
But you know what? So I used to pride myself on not doing topical humor. Like, I used to pride myself, like, nah, mm-hmm. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about my stories.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, just for the sake of clips, I need to start talking about topical stuff. Like the fact that you knew her name. I didn't know her name. I just knew this motion. I knew the basketball player girl did that. But what's her name again?
Angel Reese.
See, I didn't know her name. I need to be in there. I need to be a part of the culture. That's what I like about you though, James. You always in the culture, bruh. Like you're like tapped in. You've always been tapped in. I mean, from fashion to knowing who people are, he's tapped in. This is some true shit.
Yeah.
So that's why I've always, because I know you want to, I know acting, you love acting, but me personally, what I always felt that one of your superpowers is if you had like your, whatever the hip hop version of The Daily Show is, you know, whatever that is, where you could talk about the, whatever that's popping in current events in pop culture, but from your perspective, I feel like, but I told Hasan Minhaj the same shit. Like, before he got The Daily Show, I knew, like, your superpower is, like, touching on these, like, being a host and politics and all that type of stuff. Like, I knew that was the thing, like, what he was great at. And I feel like that's your same thing, too, man. Like, you able to see, observe what's going on in the culture and able to flip that shit.
I just watch a lot of TV.
I think that's a good part of hosting, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a good thing when you host a lot because it gives you an opportunity to talk about the current events and stuff like that. And you don't even have to get to your material as much versus if you got 10 minutes and you know what I'm saying? So I think that's a good thing. That's why I was like, I need to get a room consistently. And
I also think, though, like, that's a L.A. thing. As someone who's been in New York for, like, 4 months, I think out here we're so – it's like showcase sets. We – have all our jokes about ourselves because you get a good 2-5 minutes on yourself. That, you know, somebody that's a pilot, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
And so in our sets are like 10 minutes, 8 minutes at the most, 12, 15 minutes. And so you don't have the time to talk about current events because you're like, yo, I'm up here and I got to do my thing. And these people don't know me and they got to know who Keisha is, who James is. I can't give 5 minutes talking about women's college basketball or weather or stuff like that. But those are just as funny and like things that like people laugh at.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dance face. No.
Jamie's like, can I ask you guys a question?
Jamie, what you thinking?
I guess like two things. One, I feel like when it comes to like reusing your jokes like on stage that went viral, I don't see anything wrong with it. I feel like I've seen it. I've been to a lot of shows and I'm fans of a lot of people. So it's like I hear the same joke. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe because I'm also like a writer as well, it's like I also like to see how you're placing the jokes in between different jokes, you know, because that can change the joke, you know, and you have different tags and stuff like that. So it's essentially the same joke, but the way you're placing it into a story can change it too. So I don't really see anything wrong with it, especially if it's a great joke, you know, like it like you said, it's like your artist's favorite song, you know. I think if the club promoted the clip, maybe not use that joke for the club that you're going to that night, but like other than that, you know, like I've seen plenty of comedians reuse the same jokes, but they're placed in a different way. It's not the whole set. It's just a joke.
But you are also a comedian. I feel like comedians are sometimes cooler with our understanding of like other comedians repeating the joke because of the process. Whereas other people be like, hey, man, that's...
I heard that.
Because
we know, like I know damn near everybody's set. And even if I don't know your whole set, I know some jokes, right? And there's comedians that, to your point, I like to hear the joke. No matter how many times I hear it, it's still funny to me. But like James is saying, for somebody who's not, because before I started doing comedy, comedy just happened as a dare. It was never a part of my dream, my plan, no nothing. Somebody just dared me to do an amateur night. So I hadn't studied it, didn't know much about it. I was talking to Tony Rock, like, so I got a show tomorrow. Shit, I got to come up with some new jokes. And he was like, what? And I thought you had to tell new jokes every single time you hit the stage.
Hey, me too. So like, my first three shows, I was writing full new sets.
So, yeah, somebody watching, they do want to hear because they think the same thing. And I'd be laughing like, that nigga been telling them jokes for this past 8.5 years. But they do think that. So it is different for a comedian to watch the clip versus somebody who is, you know, just an audience member watching it and then seeing it again.
You know what? I wanted to ask y'all this question. What y'all do when you feeling undervalued in like entertainment? Do y'all ever feel undervalued? Ooh,
this interview just went to a different level. Okay, Justin's black table talk.
How y'all? I mean, do y'all ever feel undervalued, or you feel, or what y'all?
Why don't you answer your question first?
You said you want me to answer it first. All right, Jamie, she's turning the tables on my shit.
New co-host.
I know, right? She's like, why don't you answer? So this is where I got to. I used to have a huge chip on my shoulder, I would think, because I know how talented I am. I did a lot of shit first out of my peer group, or I was early, you know, when it come to like going viral and booking TV shows and booking movies and stuff like that. And so, yeah, there was a part of me that was like, you know, why am I not bigger? Like, why am like more people not recognizing what I have to offer? Because I'm like, don't y'all see what the fuck I done did? I'm the star of this. I'm on that. Like, why the fuck I'm not? Why I'm not doing late night shows? You know what I'm saying? Why the Breakfast Club not having me? Why? You see what I'm saying? Like,
why am I not a regular at a comedy club?
Why am I not a regular at a comedy club?
We won't say the name. We'll just continue.
True shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, here I am on CBS for the last 6 years. Why am I not? Oh, you know what burns me? Bruh, the improv. Hollywood improv.
I was not trying to be specific, Justin.
No, fuck all this. Hollywood improv literally has my video on their marquee. Like, they have, like, a montage of comedians, like, famous comedians that performs at the improv.
Can't get booked.
I can't get booked.
Do you have a manager?
I do.
You have a manager, yeah? Comedy manager or acting manager?
I'm about to say. I know, right? I want to be clear, she ain't answered this goddamn question yet. Now, let me finish answering my shit that you asked me to answer. So, oh, goddamn, I don't know what the fuck you think this is. So there was a part of me that felt some type of way about that. Then, in my evolution and maturity, I got to a point where I said, you know what? You know, the rooms I'm supposed to be in, I'm being. The people I'm supposed to meet, I'm going to meet. Any no's that I feel like I'm getting is God leading me to where he ultimately really wants me to be.
Rejection ain't nothing but redirection.
Amen. Rejection is God's protection. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at. But yeah, I'm human and I do have those moments when I'm like, damn. So when I even said earlier, like, yeah, you're looking at people Instagram, you're like, damn, they like better than yours. I'm thinking about, no, their life probably isn't better. But what I'm saying is like, they probably performed at some clubs I may want to perform at. They may have more followers. They may be headlining. You know what I'm saying? They might be on a movie set or a TV set. And you're like, damn, like, what the fuck? Like, I personally be thinking to myself, I'm like, I did everything right and everything wrong at the same time. Like, I did it the right way. I became the star of a TV show. I was a series regular.
We got in the game as the industry changed.
We did. That's exactly correct. And so here I was going viral on YouTube, but being a YouTube comedian was looked down upon at the same time. Yeah. So I was like, well, let me get off YouTube and focus. Let me go book 21 Jump Street, the movie.
You did YouTube to get to TV.
Exactly. And now it's like, do YouTube just to have a career and be famous.
To get the bag.
And have a career.
You get a better, you might get a bigger bag on YouTube than the TV route.
Yeah.
But no, we're so mirrored. Like, we watch Donald Glover make sketches online, get picked up to TV and blow up.
That's a fact.
I do Baraka Flocka and I'm doing well online, but then I got a TV pilot and I was like, well then fuck the internet. I did it. Like,
exactly.
And both me and him should have just kept on doing it. But the industry we grew up observing, you get recruited into TV and film and you stay there. You don't keep on doing, you know, like you don't make it into the league, but be like, I got to do my 24-hour runs. Like,
no, absolutely. Because even me, I know people look at me like, this nigga was on CBS. Why is he doing reaction videos? You know, I've had like my homegirls be like, Justin, like, we got to get you back on TV. Because even they still, like, they're looking down on the internet. You know, it's like, but I'm seeing it, as we were talking about Instagram, it's like a necessary evil.
Yeah.
Too, because at the same time, I started doing reaction videos, and I went up 15,000 followers on Facebook. So it's because like.
At one point, it was like, oh, you're an Instagram comedian, or oh, you do. The casting directors didn't want to see the people from Instagram. And now it's turned into, that's all they care about is how many followers you have.
Yeah.
Not even if you do well at this audition. Just
go for it, Jamie. Miss question, no answers. Go for it.
Do you guys have a manager?
I know. I do have a manager.
Now, that made me laugh. Like, of course, Justin has a manager.
I know, right? I'm like, you know who you talking to right now? My management. I know. You be trying to be humble, then motherfuckers pull you out your humility.
You have representation.
But sometimes you can't be humble. Right?
My manager does not, they don't really represent me for stand-up.
So that was a question I was trying to get to, because I hear that, you know, the improv is very political.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's why I asked that, because, you know, a friend of mine who... She straight up is like, look, I got passed and I'm not on no shows, you know? And it's like the people who are on the weekly shows and stuff, it's political and they have comedic managers.
Right.
You know? So that was the only reason why it wasn't like me trying to be like, oh, you know, because I don't have a comedic manager either, you know? So it's not me trying to do that.
You do, Queen. You just ain't met him yet.
That's right. I just hear about certain clubs just being very political.
Mm-hmm. So what y'all do though when y'all feeling down? Like what have y'all had to tell y'allself like during the down moments? Like what y'all tell y'allself like, keep going, it's gonna be all right. You know, do y'all say fuck the industry? Like what y'all telling y'allselves?
Can I just say something before we get into this question? I'm so sorry. I'm just
fuck your feelings.
I know, fuck your feelings.
Go for it. Go.
No, what I was gonna say is
we out of time for real this time, everybody. And thank you for tuning in. No, I'm joking. Go.
So one thing I just wanted to say is like when we overthink about what we should be posting, what we shouldn't be posting, like this, that, and through the industry, with people looking at casting directors, all this stuff, right? I feel like one thing that's a great thing that we have is being under the umbrella as a comedian. You can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You're a comedian. You get a pass. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you were just a soul like actor, you know, like they'd be like, oh, my God, I can't believe they said that, you know, like they can get canceled. You know what I'm saying? And in terms of like a bigger scale, think about 50 Cent. Right. He is a mogul straight up, just like Diddy. He doesn't like to be referred to as a mogul. He only likes to be referred to as a rapper, because he can get away with everything he does online as a rapper. Mm-hmm. Whereas Diddy can't do that. He can't troll niggas online. He's a mogul. Mm-hmm. 50 is a mogul too, but it's the way he's branding himself. He's like, I'm a rapper. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like at the end of the day, like if you put comedian first, you can get away with everything and you don't have to overthink it.
You know, it's funny. I would, me not seeing myself as a comedian first is how I get over those moments of feeling undervalued. I think that if you put all your eggs into the one basket of especially stand-up comedy, it's very easy to find yourself feeling sad, underwhelmed, unfulfilled, because it's just like the lowest level of one of the lower levels of entertainment. There's so many people who want to do it. We get paid the least on any given night. They might just bump you for somebody with more credits. For me, one of the things I always remember is that I just do a bunch of things. So if one thing is slowing down or I'm being undervalued in one place, I do other things. So if they're hating on me on the writing side, I act and do stand up. If I'm struggling with auditions, I do stand up and write and produce and play golf. And there's just other things.
Yeah.
So, but I think in general, just focus on family and just the blessings of how far you've come. Because ambition is like a double-edged sword. You're always looking up at what you haven't done because those are the goals. And if the more focused you are, you're always focused on what you haven't done because you're trying to do it. Yeah. But sometimes you have to step back and look back and realize, like, everyone in this room, we've done things that other people haven't, who, like, they would, like, there's, we complain because we don't get booked as often. That's really our complaint. We don't get booked as often, but we can do a show. You can call somebody, and if you don't get up tonight, you'll get up tomorrow somewhere. Yeah. Like, you can find somewhere to perform. There's people who hate themselves because they didn't have the courage to even try.
Yeah.
And they really are, like, hurt inside. Or, like, just for everything you want to do, where you're at, somebody would love to do it. Like, bro, like, I love doing this podcast because it reminds me how similar a journey me and Justin have had as far as, like, TV credits and success versus, like, popularity. And just, I honestly feel like me and Justin are both kind of undervalued in the comedy scene for what we've accomplished and what we've done over our entire catalog. And so when you're paying attention to that, because one thing Justin does as well is Justin's a very supportive person online. Mm-hmm. And I know partly it's because of who he is, but he's also showing people what they're not doing for him.
Yeah, it's a little, I guess so, yeah.
No, I do it too. And it's not like I kind of feel bad, but then I don't, because at the end of the day, you're still being a great person. But it doesn't matter how you arrived at doing something good for somebody else.
Because I do think I'm going to do for you what nobody did for me.
Yeah.
Type mentality. Like,
Justin's going to be like, yo, fucking Chattanooga, go see James.
Yeah.
If nobody else is going to do it. Because Justin's gone to Chattanooga and saw no one say, go fuck with Justin in Chattanooga. Yeah. And it's not like you're doing it out of a bitter place, but it's like, I just see you doing that.
It come from a genuine place too. I'm just like a genuine supportive person, and I want to see everybody win. But at the same time, I do hope that my peer group sees, like, you supporting one of your other peers is not taking anything away from you. Yeah. It's like, you know, so yeah, it's like, it'll be nice when I'm performing somewhere, somebody be like, yo, check out Justin in this city. But even if they don't, it's like, hey man, I did my part as a good human being. Now you could follow my lead and do the same thing, or you could be like, you know, fuck that nigga.
Yeah.
But you know who was also undervalued? Jesus.
Ooh, that's right, Jay. Let him
so know. Sometimes you just gotta go. It's all really deeper than this. And all of this is a blessing. We're all placed in where we are for a reason, so if we undervalue, but we are positively affecting others, like, you know, the improv may not appreciate you, but I do. But I say this though, from being a good person, bruh, I'm writing movies, I'm executive producing. I might be in more position to help your career than the improv.
That's a fact.
It's like, I think generally focusing on being the best person you can be, everything kind of come. You would hope everything comes back around. And if not, there's just a fulfillment of, like, maybe I'm not valued, but if you don't value yourself, none of the other anybody valuing you even matters. So just doing the work so that you like yourself, you care less about how other people value you.
Yeah. Yeah. Jamie, you don't got nothing to say about that?
Make that a clip, my boy. Zoom in on me. You know what I mean? Crop out Jamie.
Oh, she's cropped. She's cropped out.
But do you have a manager?
Shout out the whole time.
We're going to superimpose another guest. You're going to look at it. You're like, CT again?
I deserve that.
You've been funny.
Nah, you've been great.
I feel like for me, I just go harder in those moments because I don't look at it as, I look at it as undervalued because they just don't really know me. Mm. And like, I know where I'm at in my comedic career is like, more people need to know who I am. And then that just means I need to go harder. And because even like I said, when I came into it, I had no idea how comedy worked. I just was doing it. So it's like, oh, okay. I need to reach out to them. I'm thinking like, well, they know I'm a comedian. They should hit me up. And it's like, no, you got to be proactive and you got to hit them like, hey, can I get a spot? Or you got to show up to the club and meet. Because I'll do this too. I'll go to clubs and I'll talk to the people I know. Because I'm actually very shy, like in real life. So I talk to the people I just know. And it's like, oh, you got to talk to the promoter or the booker or you'll see like, how did this person get on this show? And not hating, but being like, dang, how they because they just open their mouth. You know what I'm saying? So for me, if in those moments where I feel that way, I'm like, oh, I just need to go harder. Okay, then I need to do this, and but I don't let it really get to me in the sense of, because I feel like I have so much more work to do. So I don't feel like I'm at the point yet of being able to be like, I can't believe the stand-up industry is doing me, like, you know what I mean? It's like, no, okay, then you just need to go a little harder. It's for me.
No, I agree with that. Accountability, you know, you got to put in that work. So even like James was like, you know, I could be better, or I could fucking start posting these stand-up clips. Yeah. You know, and I feel the same way. Even with me, it's like, you know, I could look at everybody else fan base growing, or I could say, hey, you got a bunch of material that you sitting on and a bunch of footage. How about you take the time, cut it up, and start putting it out there? You know?
Yep. Yeah.
Jamie,
do I feel undervalued?
You don't.
What do you? Yeah.
Jamie does not feel undervalued.
That one time in 1999.
No, I agree with Keisha. You know, I think if at any moment where you feel undervalued, it's really just like you got to put the work in. You know what I mean? Because the thing about it is, the people that we value is because we admire them in some way. You know, so if you feel undervalued, it's maybe because they don't see the talent that you have. It's like, it's different between potential and I can see it. You know, like, it's like, oh, potentially you could go to the stars. But if you're like putting that work out, like the putting that work in and putting it out, like with the clips and all the stuff, it's like, oh, they're going to make it, you know, and they're going to value you probably a little bit more. Like, you're working your ass off. We see it. You know, that's like a benefit of social media, you know? But
and just to be clear, you got your following from doing sketches?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah, from doing, like, comedy sketches and stuff.
Way to have people on the podcast that you don't know.
Hey, man, you know.
Hey, we're just getting to know each other. How'd you get in this again?
But you know what? That is part of the podcast, too, is that, like, some people that I don't know as well to get to know them in this platform, you know. Well, what's your name again?
But no, being valued, sometimes being undervalued over and over again is a telltale sign that maybe it's not for you.
Not only is it not for you, but you need to get your shit together. Sometimes I be thinking this too, man. We may think what we putting out is great.
Bruh. But that's my paranoia.
Yeah.
I'm like, is the algorithm hating, or am I just not that funny?
Straight up, though. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to take a real hard look and be like, you know, maybe the shit I put out just isn't great. Yeah. Through my lens, I'm thinking it's great. But the people have spoken. Sometimes it ain't the algorithm. Sometimes it's the people that have spoken.
But it's more than that, guys.
Go for it, Jamie. What is it?
Oh, my God.
What is it, Jamie?
Do you have an algorithm manager?
You probably need one. No. I feel like...
That's going to be a clip. Go. We're going to do all the Jamie clips. Go.
I feel like in order to be successful in stand-up, there's a certain path, right? In order to be successful in social media, there's a certain path. Like, in social media...
I would disagree. What's the certain path to be successful in stand-up comedy?
I don't know. I have an idea.
Because there is no clear, you go to college, 4 years, you should be graduating, or you know you need this number of credits. But with stand up or with acting, it's like you don't know when your time. You could be really great, that's, and it's just not your time yet. Or it's Jamie. Just not, you know.
Well, but okay, you so don't have the point.
So that's a Morgan Freeman.
Jesus over here. What else? Go for it, Jamie
Jackson. The point I'm saying about there's a path for social media. That's what I wanted to say, right? So it visually has to look appealing. It has to be quality. And on top of that, like, I watch people and I watch, like, their content, and I'm not saying it's not funny because it's funny, but it took forever for you to get to the joke. So it's really, it's just the fact that with social media, like, it has to be done in a certain way for it to be successful. And it's not because it's not funny, and it's not necessarily because it's not in the algorithm. It's because the way it's shot, we've already lost interest.
I've heard that too now.
So everything got to be, like, super crispy. Like, I can't have nothing from the phone, the iPhone.
You can.
Not the iPhone 1. Nigga, you better get the 13.
My iPhone clips do not be hitting. And I'd be funny in them, but they just don't hit the
my
same.
Homeboy
because
Akash
it's not
told
visually
me that,
appealing.
That my home Akash Singh told me that. He was like, you gotta look good.
You even gotta look good.
If you look at Flagrant podcast,
it's a TV show.
It's a TV show. But that's where it's getting.
Yeah.
Even these cameras ain't shit to what I really need to be having. I'm gonna have to eventually elevate the type of camera, lighting, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be virtual reality in 2 years.
Internet is the TV. Internet is TV, basically. That's what it's turning into. So yeah, your stuff gotta look TV ready or TV quality.
Yeah.
But then there's also just like so many apps. Like and to your point, like those are all like just like basic rules that like a lot of people. Comedians be like Amish people, like internet. What the like? We don't want to do none of that. Like, I just want to post my little clip that they gave me as is with the barcode in the thing. It's not even 9x16. It's like just the whole reel be like black, and then like, yeah.
It's a thing.
All right, y'all.
And captions. Use captions, y'all. If I see another comedian post a clip without no captions, don't you see everybody using captions? You think you don't need captions?
They lazy.
Damn.
That's what it is, man. You know what? At the end of the day, where we at in this grind of being comedians and actors, you can't be lazy. Mm. You have to put in the work, point blank, period. And because while you sitting back saying what I don't want to do, there's 20,000 other people saying, well, I'm going to do that shit.
And they're less talented.
And they're less talented. And you will see with their consistency, their numbers going up.
When you look at that man or woman who you know in your heart is not as funny as you, and they are
who is the person
leaps
for you?
And bounds richer than you.
I want to know who you was watching on Instagram for you to be like, I'm posting my clips. You don't got to see.
No. I'm gonna keep it without. And these aren't people where I was like, they don't deserve. They're not funny. Mm-hmm. I don't think that. But Trevor Wallace, not for stand up. I just saw how many followers he had. That like Trevor Wallace will never have to be an elite stand up comedian, and I think he's very funny.
Yeah.
But he'll never have to be because he did the work for so long when I was out here not wanting to do it, and now he has millions of followers on all these platforms. And now, even though he's not like known for his stand up, he can tour the country.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's selling out.
Oh no, he is.
So does the internet matter more than on stage? I just want to say that Trevor Wallace
60-40, yes.
Trevor Wallace came from social media.
He did what?
He came from social media doing comedy content. Right?
Yeah.
And he just got into stand up.
That's what I'm saying.
He's been doing it for a few years now.
A couple years.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty decent. I've done some
That's what I'm
with
saying.
Him.
It's just like, man, like he has definitely put that work in and like
and that's my point. Okay. You see somebody who you think is at least you're at least equally funny to, and they're selling out a tour. Mm-hmm. And if I was to I've had my CAA agents pretty much look at me and be like, bro, until you get a bigger following, there's not too much we can do as this big agency. Because if you want a weekend and then Trevor or Renee or any of these 150 plus people who can sell out shows come through.
Renee Vaku?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He's killing it right now.
Like they're prioritizing the people who are bringing the people into the seats, not the people who have the best material.
Mm-hmm. Or the most credits. They don't give a fuck about credits.
What is a credit? Yeah. We wasted our time on credits.
Yeah, we did. We wasted.
I mean, we got paid, but like besides that, like
to pay for these cameras.
Yeah.
But that's straight up though.
You have you have your own studio that someone would love to live in.
So one comparison that I kind of feel like is overlooked a little bit is like Trevor Wallace came from social media from doing comedy content. He is hilarious. You know what I mean? His videos, he was posting a new video almost every single day. Do you know how much work ethic that is? And he's
That's
writing all that. And he's like,
country,
he's doing all
Wayne,
of this.
Country Wayne.
Yeah, like they're like that is.
Now he's.
That's like no days off.
His stand up is funny.
That's what I heard. I haven't seen him yet.
I haven't seen it yet. But I heard.
Not vouching for something
no,
you
but,
haven't seen before.
No, but work from respected people. They told me he's funny. Like
I've heard
it's like when you see him, to me, he's someone who was doing stand up, but was putting out the skits, not putting out the stand up. And so you know him for the skits, but he was probably doing stand up a lot longer than we would think, more longer than a Trevor Wallace. And my point about Trevor was like, your point, his work ethic is what's giving him more success in stand-up than me. Is he funnier than me? In my opinion,
no.
No. Am I funnier than him? I will not say that. I will just say that based off performance and material, if it was just based off quality of performance, mm-hmm. I feel like I should garner the same type of draw, payment, whatever, as a Trevor Wallace. But to your point, due to his work ethic, he deserves everything that he has.
Right.
And he deserves to have that fan base that can sell out places. And so, like, that, but it's that type of thing that be like, all right, you got to do the other side. Because I can sit and do all the dope spots here and literally come up with the most elite 60 minutes you've ever heard, better than Killing Them Softly.
Right.
But if no one wants to see it, no one will see it.
Yeah.
Woo. I just think that sometimes, there's like a social media girl who got into stand-up, and she's trash. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's sometimes where it's just kind of like, it's like you want to be hard on like some like a Trevor Wallace or something like that. And I'm just like, I understand.
I'm not being hard on Trevor Wallace.
I don't think you're being hard on Trevor Wallace. No.
I'm saying that his work ethic outside of stand-up comedy has made him a bigger draw in stand-up comedy than me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Stuff with Trevor. I'm cool with Trevor.
I'm not saying that.
Don't change the narrative where I came up here right. and shitted on Trevor. I did not do that.
No, you didn't. That's not what I was trying to make it seem like at all. It's just like this girl, she has millions of followers. And she could probably get the draw of like getting clubs and stuff like that. But she's just not funny. And she didn't necessarily come from doing comedy content. So it really is just kind of like from like left field where she's just kind of like, oh, let me just get into that. Whereas like a Trevor is, it's a lateral move, you know? And that's where I'm just like, okay, well, it kind of makes sense. But like for someone like this, I'm like, how?
For some people who have a lot of followers, stand-up is just something to do to make money because you have these followers. It's just like selling clothes, selling plates or whatever. Like, stand-up is just a place where you can take your following and get some money. And I don't respect those people. And that's kind of okay. Who you're talking about. It sounds like you're talking about with Old Girl. Where, like, you know, you have a lot of people, like, who will randomly be like, I'm going to do stand-up. Like, singers and just people because they just have, like, a bunch of following and they just want to do something. I don't respect that. Like, Trevor is not that. Like, Trevor, like, does stand up, like does spots,
he
like
puts in the work.
He puts in the work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, but just doing the work. And I think in general, just doing the work of creating a following gives you an advantage in anything you want to do. Mm-hmm. Chef, mm-hmm. lawyer, athlete.
Working, fitness.
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 So I think it's just a general thing with that. And it goes into comedy as well.
Hey man, this has been an amazing episode.
Jamie, do you feel that way?
I feel like this has been a great episode.
Been an amazing episode, man.
Jamie, sign us off.
I know, right? We talked about the clips. We talked about the specials. We talked about being undervalued. You know what I'm saying? We got some good stuff. We got some clips.
I love how we collectively had all not watched one of the specials that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that's
I just haven't gotten around to it yet. I'm going to watch
it. I'm going
to
see it. Yeah.
But, you know, my final thing is, and I hate to make this so... because you didn't watch it either, but a part, and maybe my supportive nature also. I only knew about some more special because Ida Rodriguez, I seen her at an award show and she mentioned it.
The Comedy Awards.
Mm-hmm. The Comedy Awards.
Yeah.
That's the only way I even knew about it.
And when did it come out?
Exactly. Like about a month, two months ago?
I've seen it on the, you know how when you hit Netflix and it'll show you like, what's new?
See, it didn't even pop up on my shit.
Up, I just haven't.
It didn't show me.
It wasn't my.
It'll be like Love Is Blind.
But a part of me was thinking, why aren't all the black female comedians like spreading the word about her special? Because if her special is successful, it's only gonna benefit y'all. It's only gonna make Netflix say, oh, there's an appetite for black female comedians specials. So let us see who else we can find to put on our platform. So it kind of boggles my mind that I didn't see like every black female comedian posted about some more special. Black comedian in general. Now, I did do a post because that's my nature, though. I don't fucking know some more And I did a Monique post. That was before I saw it. But not joking. I had actually saw it. I saw it and I still
hilarious.
I still posted about it.
Hey, y'all go watch this bullshit.
That's how supportive I am. But the reason I did it is because one, I'm looking at it as these are two black women. Like, I need to be supportive of two black women. That was my number one thought. Here are two black women with comedy specials. Number two, I'm not seeing nobody else fucking supporting their shit. Mm-hmm. So I remember Ali Wong started following me on Twitter because I posted about her first special. I didn't know Ali Wong. I was just like, yo, I just seen this woman, Ali Wong, special. It's hilarious. Y'all check it out. She started following me on Twitter. She was like, oh my God, comedians never support one another. Like, I appreciate you. She probably don't know who the fuck I am. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She probably won't remember me. But in that moment, you know, that was just me just being genuine. Like, yo, let me support her. So anyways, that was kind of my thought when it came to the Monique special and the Samore special. I'm like, why aren't I seeing more black female comedians support their special? Because it's only going to help y'all at the end mm-hmm. of the day. I feel like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know for me... Everybody knows this. I'm always tardy to all the parties when it comes to TV and film. I just saw Coming to America a few years ago. Whatever.
The first one?
Hey. So, it was a very great movie. I will say, of all the movies y'all get on me for not seeing, Coming to America was excellent.
Oh, definitely anyway, the first one.
I've seen the second one, too. So, I'm always late to watching stuff. Like, I'm not even going to hold you. And sometimes late to even knowing that it's out. Like I said, I did see it pop up on my Netflix. I haven't watched it yet. But that is a very good point. Like, that is something that we should do more. I think that in my experience for black women in the comedy, it's either one or the other. It's either, like, girl power or it's, like, catty kind of. Yeah. So I don't know if that's the thing. If people feel, and I can't speak for it, if people feel like because so many comedians don't support each other and don't, you know, if they feel like, well, I ain't posting her junk, because I don't know if that's the reason why. I can't speak for anybody else, but it's a thought of maybe. Like, I don't know. But that is a very good point. Mm-hmm. Like, as black women, we absolutely should. All right.
Well, I'm glad I didn't say nothing crazy. Jamie?
I'm going to watch it.
You got anything?
We
out of town for real this time.
I mean, yeah.
What y'all got? What y'all socials? What y'all got? Y'all got anything we should check out? If y'all got a podcast, stand-up show, what y'all got?
I mean, always stream Game Theory on HBO with Bomani Jones. Watch that ASAP. Tell your friends to watch it because we have not been picked up for another season. So all the views matter. Jay Snow, Sydney Castillo on there as well. And then follow my clips. Share my clips.
Share them.
Don't
clips.
Just like. Share.
Straight up.
Yeah, everything I have, I post on Instagram. So follow me on the gram. It's Keisha.E, ITSKEYSHA.E. I have a podcast, Somebody's Auntie. My series should be out soon. My editor, we had a situation. Keys to the City, but I'll post that when it comes out. So find everything there.
Nice.
My name is Jamie Riley. You can find me on all socials. It is at Jamie A. Riley, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all of that. Just keep you updated. And if I ever like have shows coming up and stuff like that, it'll be on my page.
When's your next show?
Actually, I have one May 3rd.
Did you book that through your comedy manager? No, she's like, I had enough of your shit. Hey, man, it's your man, Justin Hyers, man. Appreciate y'all checking in, man. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, share the clips, man. And make sure you check out my In My Feelings episodes also. That's just me by myself. I'm all up in my feelings. Talk about shit. And if anybody has been offended by anything that we said today, just remember one thing.
Fuck your feelings. I, going down, I get it. Hate that I keep winning. Stab my back, it's tempting.